Today's episode is sponsored by my Lit Daily Online Yoga Classes. This is an exclusive pass into my personal practice and program that I created from experience as a physical therapist and 20 years developing my Lit Yoga methodology. There is a different class with me every day, including special monthly live streams, so you can feel your most lit up anytime and anywhere. Get a 3-day free trial today by going to movementbylara.com and clicking daily classes. Let's get moving. Good movement, and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a Movement by Lara podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through safer and smarter movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Today, I have a very special podcast guest, my dear friend, Kristen Williams, who is a physical therapist and also an instructor at my studio. She's a senior teacher there. She is an all-around badass. And without further ado, welcome, Kristen.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. And I can't believe it's been this long. And I've had my brother, and he's the only other physical therapist I've had on here, but we get so many questions about physical therapy and physical therapy ailments and movement in general and functionality. And let's just back up and tell everybody how we met. You've been teaching now for 5 years?
5 years, yeah. Class of 2014.
So how did you find out about me?
I can tell you exactly how. Yeah. So I was practicing at another studio, and I started doing free screens for them, physical therapy free screens. And Yanula came. She was teaching there too. And so she came to one of my free screens. She was having, I can't remember what was bothering her. And she said, I shouldn't say this, but you need to go check out Yoga Stream, Lara Hyman. She said, she told me that she's from the West Coast and that you practice similar to what she was used to out there. And she says, I think you'll really like it from a physical therapy standpoint. And the whole reason I got into yoga was because I got so many patients, meaning clients from yoga. And they would come to me with...
You mean injured?
Injured from yoga. Yeah.
Wow.
And people would say, what do you know about yoga? And I'd be like, haven't got a clue. I've never done it. And so right before we moved here, suddenly I was going from working full-time to, I initially didn't work, and I was like, yes, I'm going to check this yoga thing out. And the second I went in to, you know, some other studios, I was like, oh, that's why I was getting so many patients. So she invited me to come over, and I think she even gave me like a free class pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came over and I met you, and it was pretty instant that I was hooked with your method. It was hard. Like, don't get me wrong, I was sweating my butt off, but my appreciation was for all the modifications and the, you know, being moderate with everything and not going to end range.
Mm-hmm.
So I started coming, and then just kind of got bitten by the bug. And I also ended up teaching the anatomy portion at this studio. And for them, and I was, again, that right there kind of sealed the deal. I was trying to decide where to do my teacher training because
mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I was, you know, I loved yoga. I have a dance background, and then also just being a PT, it speaks to you. And yeah, that was it. I decided to take your training, and it, you know, changed my life. So here I am five years later.
High five. Well, holy moly, we could talk the entire time about yoga and injuries. I did not actually realize that's how you started
mm-hmm.
because I'm asked a lot, and I know there's research articles, and then there's even now in the yoga world, there's people who are moving a lot more towards functional mobility. And then a lot of people who are like, hey, don't be such an alarmist. Yoga, it does not actually hurt people. So without going down that rabbit hole, just can you give a few examples of some of the things that you saw?
Absolutely. Hip. Hip was the big one. Mm. People going too far. You know, the biggest thing that I tell not only my patients, but our clients at the studio is everybody is built differently. So your pigeon looks a lot different than my pigeon. Your forward fold looks a lot different than my forward fold. or both of our forward folds actually the same now because we modified. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially with the hips, because there's with the so hips, there, much variety.
There's so much variety with the shape of the femur, with the shape of the pelvis. And so there was this tendency for a teacher to learn how to teach a pose. And the cue was always get your shin parallel to the front of the mat and people pushing into pain. And so then coming in to see me. So hip was number one that I saw the most of. And then certainly cervical stuff. And then wrist. I don't, because I'm a PT, I don't see as much of the wrist and hand. I tend to sometimes, particularly in the outpatient orthopedics realm, go a bit more to the hand therapist, but certainly have addressed that. And shoulder, you know, but I would say hip. Hip was the biggest thing I saw in my practice. And still do, probably.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because you're right. And this is one reason I don't give cookie cutter cues. I never have. It's always been hard for people because in teacher training, they're like, can you write down the top 10 cues that you would say? And I'm like, it's really hard to do that. And as physical therapists, we know that we're looking at a body, individual body to body. We're not, so to kind of come up with this five, here are the five best cues for a down dog and five best, it's really, so it's really problematic because then you know those five cues and that's what you've seen. And then people do those adjustments. I remember you were telling me when, I think one of the reasons that you also really liked, one of the first things you had told me about is when I adjusted your down dog, it was like, oh, this feels good. So many people just push on your sacrum. And if you're rounded in your pelvis, it's just going to jam you as opposed to lengthen. So it's like, again, if you're, whether it's a physical tactile adjustment or a verbal cue, it doesn't land for everybody. And in fact, it could possibly be not great.
Yeah. And I'm actually, as a teacher, I'm very gentle with my manual cues because we do this in PT, especially with as a neurodevelopmental PT. You know, it's the tactile.
It's facilitation.
It's the facilitation.
It's really facilitation.
So it's a hint of if I see it on someone, let's
like
say
feedback.
Feedback. Yeah. Like just a little tap. It's we want that to move. Versus, and then, you know, I'm sure we've all been adjusted in, let's say, an up dog being pulled deeper into an up dog, cranking on the back, pigeon being pressed down into it. Like all these things that... I don't know. So going back to how I got into it, your verbiage, your vocabulary spoke to me. And it was a really, then I started getting back into PT. So I think when I started taking, I was practicing part-time with you. I mean, I was practicing part-time in a clinic back in an outpatient setting. And so then I started transitioning it into my practice. And
How do you, because I do have a lot of PTs who ask me, like, how do you blend these two? Because you do it similarly, but also differently than I do.
Yeah. So a lot of my patients I will give, sometimes it'll be, say, like a pure Warrior II reverse or something like that. But usually it's more of our the stuff we do in class, which is functional movement.
Right.
So airplane, knee to chest, or airplane to standing twist, high crescent lunge to airplane. So it's that functional movement training, hip openers and half moon stance. You know, learning how to move the body in space is so so good for the body, but also comparing left to right. You know, people really, that's the best part about yoga is we do both sides. And so that's a big eye opener. And as a physical therapist, you know, we don't chase pain, we chase dysfunction, or we address dysfunction or impairment. So yoga really brings a lot of that to light that maybe I didn't even see.
Yeah.
So people will come to me and say, hey, you know, this pose is bothering me. I might help them with certain poses. But a lot of my people, I will start them with little sequences like that, down dog to plank. Our way of doing it, which is using the shoulder blades, the lats, you know, using the core to lift versus
pushing back,
pushing forward and back.
Yeah.
And sagging into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Addressing it there. And then eventually, you know, bringing them into the beginner classes or the stretch class and then progressing them. And honestly, a lot of my private clients come from being patients before. They like to do their PT, their yoga with me one-on-one because I know what's wrong with them and those little, like you said, everybody's individual.
And there's a trust, I think, being physical therapists. I always say that this is like, this is getting my PT degree has paid in spades in my yoga world, because it gives us such a sense of credibility because we really understand the body in a different way than kind of a regular yoga teacher would. Mm-hmm. And that being said, how do you think, like when you go and take a yoga class, where in the yoga world do you think we need the biggest kind of adjustment?
Sequencing. Sequencing. When I'm in a class and it doesn't make sense to my body.
We're talking outside of our studio,
yes,
of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. The transitions between poses need to make physiological sense. And I know that you do this and I do this. We put a lot of thought into our classes.
There's no randomness.
No, they're choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
They are choreographed. They are typed up. Do I deviate? And absolutely, based on what I see in the class, what people are feeding off of or not, right, you know, feeding into. But it's a choreographed, thoughtful,
yes,
process.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell when someone hasn't done that because it's very cut and paste, go to here, go to here, go to here. And it's like my body doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Gosh. And when people say, oh, sometimes I show up to class and I don't have a plan, I like to just feel organic.
I don't get it.
I don't get that either. And I think like, if anything that you are in charge of,
absolutely,
you would always be prepped for it. Always. Of course you can put, like, you can sense the mood, you
absolutely
can sense the patients, the clients, whatever. Yeah. But to show up and just be like, let's see what we're going to do. Like,
raise your hand. What do you want to work on?
Yeah. Anytime a teacher says that, I'm like, oh, geez.
Here you go. Yeah.
Because that really feels discombobulated and not thoughtful.
Yeah.
I don't think that's their, I mean, I think that they really are trying to kind of go with like this energy, which you will do anyway. The thing is, if you're prepped, you will have actually more, you'll be a better portal for that energy because you have you're so prepared and organized. And it's just like you want to get organized in the body to have.
And you've done it.
Yeah. Yes.
You've done it
and you know that it actually feels good. I totally agree. So, okay. Gosh.
To me, that's the biggest thing. And that as a, you know, a former, a student of you, but going through your teacher training, you gave us that
template. Yeah, the template.
Like, and it's like, oh, okay. And then freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So people will say like, they're all my flows.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm happy to share them with anybody that wants to, you know, because I used to come in with a pad and paper, you know, with you first start, like, oh, God, I love that. Write it down and then adjust, you know, make it my own. But
absolutely,
the sequencing is the key, I think, for your practice.
It's the king, queen. It's really so, so important. So everyone that's thinking about doing a teacher training, if you can't make it to mine, look for that. Look for, does the person that's leading it or people that are leading it, do they know functional anatomy and movement?
Yeah.
Because if you do know functional anatomy and movement, you don't have to be a PT, but you will understand how important that sequencing is, how to prepare the body, how to lead one thing into the other that feels good and not clunky.
Yeah, what you're not ready for at the beginning that you are ready for at the end.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, that to me is the number one thing.
Good. Okay, and so talk about a little bit about the therapeutic series that you have on the Lit Daily. You have a wonderful series there. The Lit Daily, you can find it at movementbylara.com. That's the online yoga platform, and we have a robust amount of material there, library of classes, including Kristen's therapeutic series. And people have loved that.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I started off with the stretch class.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I started at the studio four years ago.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
People love this class.
And
love
that was based on a need that I saw in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Where I work outpatient orthopedics, and then also with my private clients. With my private clients, I do it a little bit different than the studio, and I finish every private session and I have one class I teach a week on Sundays, but we finish it with 15 minutes of stretching with a strap because we don't do it enough.
Right.
And I stretch all my patients in the clinic and they say, my God, if I could just bring you home with me, take you on vacation with me, if you could just stretch me every day, I'd be so much better off. And it was like a light bulb went off because yoga, people do have a misconception of yoga, particularly our type of yoga, your type of yoga, I want to say, it is your type of yoga. But yes, there's flexibility involved, but it's not stretching.
Right. No.
It is, we lift up out of poses.
Yes.
We're mobilizing.
Mm-hmm.
We get the dynamic stretch, but there is a place for static stretching.
For those, and the problem is in the yoga world, there's the camp that are like hypermobile.
Yeah.
So they don't need the stretching in the same way at all. What she's talking about is the majority of the people, like my husband, who just ordered some 10-minute like male gymnast stretching thing. I loved it. He's like, what do you think, honey? I'm like, go for it.
Yeah.
If you do it, like that's the whole thing. Like you got to do it. But that's really what you're answering is the majority of people who are walking around and they're bound in like this little cashew shape and folded over.
Yep.
And yeah, we're mobilizing the joints in our movement pattern, but they're going to need more than that. They're going to need to pull on that connective tissue and stretch it.
Yeah. And it's prolonged low load stretching. Mm-hmm. We've known that for years. And so my favorite thing about those two classes, so basically what those two classes are, they're the first two ones I did, was I split that class in half. Mm-hmm. Basically upper body, lower body-ish. Mm-hmm. My favorite part as a physical therapist is, and even as a yoga teacher, is educating people.
Yes.
And so if you take that class, I will educate you about your body, about your joints. It is an excellent chance to do a weekly assessment. Left to right, I educate the client about what quote unquote normal is. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of get a little ballpark assessment of where you are in your body, because this is what we find. People will come to me 9 times out of 10. It is, I don't know how I did this, or it came on gradually.
Yeah.
It's not always an injury. It's often not an injury, particularly the clientele I see. I would say, because I teach in the morning, I see mostly like, let's say, 25 to 75 year olds. Mm-hmm. So not your young kid
athletic,
who's getting
right.
it. Yeah. You know, and I see some of those, but most people are coming before work. So what this does is it might bring to light a dysfunction that they have that they didn't realize. Mm-hmm. Wow, my left side is a lot tighter than my right. My left shoulder doesn't go as far. And if you've had an injury, there's a reason for that. But so what I'll say to people is, hey, if you notice something, just put a little extra time in. So it's a very repetitive class. I still haven't changed it very much from when I started it at the beginning, because I want people to learn these stretches mm-hmm. and to know them. And it's been really, really fun to watch people who have come religiously for the last 4 years and see their body change.
Yeah. And what I love
is their pain decrease.
And seeing the people who would not ordinarily come into a yoga class.
No, it's very
non-threatening. Because they're so, for lack of a better word, tight. And I know everybody, you know, PTs and all that, that's like, well, what is tight, quote unquote? I mean, it's an adjective. We understand what that means. Yeah. Of course, there's mechanical restriction, there's physiological, all that. There's nervous system. But what at the end of the day, these people are tight. They are not moving well.
Yep.
What have you noticed? Because you've been at PT for over a decade, right?
20 years.
You're like me.
I'm like you.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So what have you noticed that has been the most change like in the last 10 years? I want to say with the rise of technology and more sedentary lifestyle and blah, blah, blah. But what are some of the big ones that you notice?
The big ones are, obviously we all talk about sitting, what that's doing to us, mm-hmm. the neck. The interesting, the advent of the phone, it's changing. It used to be tight and back, long in front. Now we're long and back, tight in front, but from all the looking down at our phones. So the biggest thing I see is definitely a lack of muscular endurance. Because people are staying so static, they're trying to change that. It's kind of funny. It's, the standing desk is going to change the world. Prolonged standing is no better than prolonged sitting, is no better than prolonged walking, prolonged running, prolonged anything.
Right.
You know, we need to change positions.
Yeah.
So I would say, but with the advent of people sitting a lot, so much more, it's tightness in the front, weakness in the back, very disconnected to their body. They don't know how to move. A lot of change from kids going and playing multiple sports to playing one sport only. So we see kids getting injured younger, more seriously, because their body doesn't know how to move outside of a certain pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, the same way. You know, weekend warrior, that's always been the thing.
Yeah, weekend warrior, for anybody that doesn't know, that's like where you sit all week and then you go out and
play basketball
or football like you
tear your Achilles tendon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So your body's so unprepared for whatever weekend activity you're doing.
Yeah. And that's honestly been my favorite thing about yoga is that it makes people move in full
in a variety of ways.
So you've got frontal, coronal, mm-hmm. transverse plane, like all different planes of motion.
Yeah.
You don't normally get.
So what are in that vein of like 20 years change and changed how the bodies are presenting. What are like 3 to 5 things, like movement? If somebody said, what are 3 to 5 movements I should do? And this could be like for everybody, yeah. You know?
I definitely have my favorites, and it's kind of funny that I give almost all of my patients, regardless of the issue, because mm-hmm. I find the dysfunction there. So they come to me for pain in the knee, I'm having them address their thoracic spine. They come to me with pain in the shoulder, thoracic spine, back, thoracic spine. So number one, thoracic extension. So using a Swiss ball, arching back over it, using a yoga block, mm-hmm. arching back over it, chest openers on a yoga block. Mm-hmm. I give almost every single patient some form of thoracic extension. And I do think that speaks directly to what you're talking about with what have we seen over the last 10 years. People are sitting at a desk too much.
Yeah.
People are driving their kids around too much.
Yes.
People are texting too much.
Yeah.
People are rounded.
It's rounded. So thoracic extension is on the thoracic spine, which is where the ribs are, essentially that area. It's the largest part of the spine. And extension and rotation are the two ranges that we lose the most, and they really affect the rest of the body above and below, because the neck will try and compensate, the hips will blow, or the low back will try and
compensate shoulders.
If you
don't have it there, you're going to find it somewhere else.
Exactly. And it's interesting because the thoracic spine often is not an area where people complain of pain, but it's the reason for the pain somewhere else, the lack of mobility there.
Yeah, because it's so protected by the ribs, and mm-hmm. it's not a very mobile area in general. But when you think about what you need it for, you need to be able to extend your thoracic spine. Extend meaning open up or lean back to lift your arm up. Mm-hmm. You need it to be able to take a deep breath. And so yes. I talk about this in the stretch class. Like, listen, this is not just about posture. This is about pulmonary function. This is about the elderly not being able to cough or inhale. And so that's where pneumonia, all of these things become problematic because they lose a lot of that mobility.
Yeah.
And so that one is numero uno.
I agree. The breathing is huge. It's so underestimated how much that lack of movement there is affecting how big your breath can be, how well you're clearing out your lungs and
feeding the body through mm-hmm. oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's number one. Number two is definitely some sort of spinal rotation. Mm. So I give multiple different supine, meaning on your back with their legs on a ball or just their feet flat with their knees bent side to side. Mm-hmm. That's great because, I mean, rotation is what feeds the spine. I like to think, I use a lot of analogy with my clients, my patients, because I'm a very visual person that helps them. Mm-hmm. So I think of our spine as little sponges. And how do we wring out the sponge? We're going to get rid of the waste products. As it comes back to neutral or straight and forward, you're bringing in all of the blood flow, mm-hmm. oxygen, cerebral spinal fluid. So we're feeding the discs, we're feeding the spine. And again, we lose that with age. So some sort of either from below, knees side to side, or from above, upper body, left and right, some sort of spinal rotation for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And how about at the hips?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So hips, what I find with most people is it's lack of mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So people will come to me for back pain and I'll find a hip is immobile. Mm-hmm. So some sort of rotation component mm-hmm. through the hip, even standing balance, so stability through the hip.
Yeah.
People don't realize that you get this feedback from the floor all the way up your leg into your hip that people are really not in tune with. You would be surprised the number of my patients that can't stand on one leg.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me. I always say that in yoga class, I'm like, what you're doing right now, and you might be struggling. I was like, ask anybody on the street and they couldn't even do it. Like they couldn't even lift because you've got the shoes interfering and all that. But yeah, it's
amazing. Yeah. People think I'm crazy. I'll be like, you guys are so good. I'm like,
I know.
Because it's like they're standing on one leg.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds, 60 seconds, transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
So hips, it's definitely mobilizing the hip.
Mm-hmm.
The PT does come in. I mean, the physical therapist does come in. That's a hard joint to mobilize yourself.
Yeah.
So the hands-on work there is nice.
And we should mention, tell them about what your specialty is. It's orthopedic, but what did that involve?
So I'm what's called an orthopedic certified specialist. I've taken some extra training to be board certified. A lot of my specialized stuff has been, like continuing education, has been with the spine. So I do joint manipulations, joint mobilizations. I would say my area of specialty is the trunk. Mm-hmm. So neck, shoulders, spine, hips, because that's really the core. We laugh and say the knees are dumb joints. Really, all they want to do is bend and straighten. When there's an issue there, look above or below, because those are the joints that are having problems. And so I just really enjoy this area.
Yeah. And you can have such an effect for people.
Hands on. Yeah. You know, not all PTs are created equal. Mm-hmm. So that's frustrating too. People say, oh, I've tried physical therapy. Well, what did they do with you?
Right.
You know, because you really do have to look at the body as, like you said, a machine. Mm-hmm. You know, we're basic. We're machines. We're looking to, you know, make things more effective, more functional. More, not just effective, but efficient.
Efficient, yes.
Key.
And you're right, not all PTs are the same. So the things people should look for are the things which you're offering, which is education. I mean, you should be educated. You should walk away from a session and understand why you did what you did or what it's leading toward.
Yep.
And
what's going on in your body.
Yeah. And then a PT who has hands-on ability because...
And time to do it.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's the clinic issue. Like, do they give you enough time to get your hands on people?
Yes, exactly.
Do you stay with the same therapist?
Mm-hmm.
A big thing I see is they bounce around and that's just not good for, you know...
No, anyone. I don't understand why they bounce around like that. I know. It's so funny. When I first started, I was in neuro rehab, neuro and orthopedic, and we would have 2 to 3 people an hour, you know, and that was like, and we had an assistant there if we needed it for like grabbing this or that. And I know that same clinic now, I'm sure they're seeing 10 people an hour. It's just, it's really sad the way that's gone with insurance. And you need to go to a clinic where they really value you as a patient, but they value the physical therapist's ability to give them the time.
And honestly, that's why a lot of PTs are going to cash pay.
Yeah.
Because patients are realizing the value of the hands-on, of the education, of the
Because otherwise we're just overqualified personal trainers. Yeah. I'm not, you know, personal trainers are qualified, but like we've gone to a lot of school for that. Yeah. So it's like, you need more than that. So,
people who can afford it are paying for that one-on-one time.
Right. So what do you want to, before I go into the questions, what do you want to do now in going forward? Where do you see yourself taking this physical therapy and yoga? Like, what would you be your ideal blending? Or maybe you're already doing that. You see private clients, yoga, because people say, do you see yoga? I look at it like your person coming and I'm looking at how you move and how I can help you. And it's like PT and yoga hat. I don't differentiate.
Not a separate hat.
Right. Yeah. You're the same way.
I do. I love teaching yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the job.
Yeah.
That's
the
joy.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself ever giving that up.
Well, you're not going to. God bless you.
Exactly. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
I love getting my hands on people.
Mm-hmm.
So a marriage of the two, which I'm like you, I think I do that.
Yeah.
So with my private clients.
Yeah.
I do both. So eventually, although I do like being in a clinic because I like feeding off of other therapists.
Right.
You know, I find myself listening to Jeff, who's right next to me, or listening to Craig, who's across the way. And I'm, you know, what are they telling their patients? What is their patient saying to them? And oh, that's a really good way to say it. So I still feed off of that.
Yeah.
But I hate the paperwork. I hate the red tape. I hate, you
the
know,
limitations,
the limitations.
All that.
So I think a marriage of the two, which I kind of am doing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll keep that up.
Yeah.
All right. I've got some questions for Kristen, the powerhouse here. Let's see. The first question is, best exercise for S-curve spine? Actually, I got a couple scoliosis questions. So maybe in general, I know what I would say, but I'd love to hear what you would say.
And this is for the S-curve scoliosis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a very mild scoliosis. There's a big, I think, debate as to whether you can change scoliosis.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, a lot of people are coming to me with that question in their 50s, 60s, when they're now being affected by their scoliosis, when in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, they never felt it. So by that time, there's a lot of bony change. So can you change the structure? I'm going to leave that open.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't even want to answer that.
Right.
But can you improve upon the function?
Mm-hmm.
So I think so. I think you can retrain muscle. You can retrain neuro pathways to where you are working out of that structural, we'll call it a dysfunction. Really, it's more of a derangement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a technical
right.
differentiation terminology-wise. But
Because there's been structural changes.
Yeah. Because you know, it's no longer just something that we can change through muscle activation. So a lot of thoracolumbar rotation, you know, in the opposite direction.
Right.
Moving out of that S curve, core.
Yeah. Core helps.
Core so helps.
Much. Hanging helps.
Lengthening. Yeah.
Lengthening.
So hanging for passive and then active tractioning.
Yeah.
You know, which that's the core.
Yeah. All that. Yeah.
Hanging does help.
Hanging has helped, especially if you have a pretty large.
Yeah. Hanging in a door frame.
High degree.
Door frames are great.
Look at that. Three scoliosis questions. Okay. So here's one. Pain in feet and the peroneal tendon during and after running.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
The question is, what do I do about that?
Well, any advice? Yeah, that's what she said. Any advice?
I would probably with that, look at shoe wear, shoes. Yeah. You would be surprised how shoes can matter when it comes to runners. There are hundreds of different types of shoes out there. People ask me, what's the best brand? I can't even answer that question. It's like asking beds. You get that all the time. What kind of bed should I have?
Or pillow. Pillows. Like, oh my gosh. You know, I had the magic answer for that.
The unfortunate thing with shoes, beds, and pillows is they're all really expensive.
Yes.
So I would definitely look to see that they're supported there. Mm-hmm. If you have, my general rule of thumb, and I learned this years ago, I was a runner, ran track, had all sorts of injuries. That's what got me into PT. But if you have a really mobile foot, meaning you hear this term pronation, hypermobile, it collapses a lot, you need to give that a little more support. So a wider shoe tends to help because it gives the inner arch something to fall into.
Right.
It gives it some support.
Not so rigid. Yeah.
Not so rigid. Versus the high arch person, they need mobility.
Yeah.
So a more narrow, like Nike tends to be a little narrower, if I'm going to throw that name out there. ASICs sometimes tend to be a little bit narrower in the arch. So something that lets you promote mobility.
Right.
But usually with that, again, I start looking up the chain, looking at your hips, your core, looking at what's happening at your knee. So your iPhone or whatever phone you have is your friend. Video yourself. Hop on a treadmill. Have a friend video you. Slow-mo. Look to see what's happening. It's eye-opening.
Yes, how the legs will fall in. I mean, the knee just will fall in for so many people. They have no idea.
Yeah, so why are your peroneal tendons working? The peroneals act to evert or bring the heel out to the side. So what, most likely when you're running, he or she is probably eccentrically loading that way too much.
Right.
Eccentrically meaning trying to slow down the opposite motion.
Right.
So what's going on?
Right.
That's happening. Is she really hypersupinating and then, you know, slowing or vice versa?
Yeah. And she's got pain in her feet. So I suspect that something is trying to stabilize a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know? Pain in the feet. So that those peroneals are trying to work out. So is the foot hypermobile? Is it hypomobile?
Right. Not moving at all. Right. Because the foot has to have a lot. It should have a lot of mobility. So think about all those things and video yourself. And take a look at how you are landing, how you're pushing off, where your hips are, you know, all that good stuff.
Or go see a PT, honestly. Yeah. Have a PT take a look at you, get their hands on you, because they need to look up the chain too.
Exactly. Best way to help with tight hip muscles. We reviewed that. Even as a yogi, I can't seem to keep them feeling good.
That, let me just make one point for that.
Yeah, do that.
Because I think that this is a common, very common misconception, particularly with yogis, because a lot of people who are in yoga flock to yoga initially because maybe they were a dancer or they are mobile. Mm-hmm. They are actually, they feel like they're tight, but tightness manifests as weakness manifests as tightness.
Yes.
So they feel like they're tight, but they're actually weak.
Yes.
So for that.
Especially in the hips.
Especially in the hips. The hips. Achilles tendon is very similar. So if people say, man, I wake up every morning, I'm tight. I stretch, I'm still tight. You're probably not tight. Mm-hmm. You're probably actually weak. Mm-hmm. And that is feeling to your body like tightness. So what I would tell her for her hips is start getting on one leg, doing some functional dynamic movement. So let's say, we talked about this before, airplane to high crescent lunge.
Yeah.
Airplane to standing twist, I did this today in class, prayer twisted crescent up to a standing twist opposite way. Move that hip through mobility, so through its full weighted range of motion, where you're challenging the strength and endurance of that muscle and see what happens. If you really focus on that, give it a good 6 weeks of training, and I bet you're going to be like, wow, I feel looser. You're actually stronger.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like we misinterpret that. And we've talked about that with the upper trapezius. People stretch it. And sometimes it's actually not the answer. Same with piriformis.
Yes.
They think their piriformis is so tight when in fact it's actually weak.
It's weak.
So it's there's
psoas. Same thing.
Yes. Oh, no. It needs to be strong
hip flexors,
and supple.
They can't even get their knee up past 90. It needs to be strong.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good point. Don't misinterpret those signs. The other thing is, I think in yoga, of course, not in our practice, but people will lean into the lunges, any of the lunges, crescent lunge, low lunge, and they're leaning into the passive structures of the hips. Mm-hmm. Feel like they're getting a good stretch, and then it doesn't feel good afterwards.
Yeah, because they're leaning into the ligaments.
Because they've leaning, yeah. So be aware of like not going into the end range, but work on strength. I think overall, most everyone needs more strength.
They do, especially because we're more sedentary.
Yeah, we just need more strength.
Period.
We do need some of those big fascial planes do need some big stretching, but most people need more strengthening. And like you said, endurance and that strength.
Yeah.
Do PTs welcome clients without referrals or when things aren't necessarily, quote, wrong? So I'm thinking like, just like as a, what is the word I'm looking for? Like not prehab.
Prehab. Yeah. Absolutely. The biggest thing, depending on your state's practice act. Mm-hmm. So for example, in New Jersey, you do not need a prescription to come see me at my clinic. That's their policy because I'm part of a hospital. So they are CYA, cover their butt. They they require you to have a prescription to come see me at my clinic, even though you by law don't need one. So number one, check the practice act. And every PT knows that. Do you need one? Number two, does your insurance need one if you're using insurance? Because some insurances do require it. Mm-hmm. Or number three, go see someone privately and pay out of pocket. And if their practice act allows, they'll see you. And heck yeah, I want to see people. Usually they're not going to come see me if they're not having some sort of problem, but nip it in the bud, people.
Yeah.
Like the second you feel it, the quicker you see me, the less you have to see me.
I've actually thought of this. Remember a couple of years ago, I was saying, we need to develop like a prehab where people come and they get like, it's like you bring your automobile in, you get your dentist checkup.
Yep.
They should have just a checkup.
That's.
And of course, you know, we both, I being like really, you know, guilty of this, is I always have a lot of ideas, but it's, you know, there's only so much time in the day. But that would be a really good one.
That's what I think of stretch as.
Yeah.
Stretch class is a really good checkup.
Right.
Stretch is your checkup.
Yes, checkup. How are you feeling?
How are you doing?
How's
your body doing?
Yeah.
And then, that's just so funny you should say that, because that's what I tell my patients. I'm like, all right, you're discharged. You might need to come back and see me for a tune-up.
Yeah, you need a tune-up.
Your body is a machine. You might need a tune-up. So don't stress over that. You know. But if you can nip it in the bud, if you feel it coming, use your home exercises. Because we're all human. I give them their home exercises. They're gung-ho for a while. Then life gets in the way. They stop doing it. And then your body's going to want to creep back to that normal abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body feels like it's normal, but it really isn't.
Right.
And then that's how we get
retraining takes time and it takes patience and it takes
effort.
Yeah, effort. And so we get it. All of us are not always great at the follow through, but if you can follow through, even in small amounts, I find that it really has a huge impact.
Yeah.
All right. So tips for winged scapula. Well, there's a lot of people with that issue. So we covered that in our classes, but what are some other things that you would...
That again, so the cookie cutter answer is serratus.
Yeah, yeah.
Your serratus anterior, which is a muscle on the side of the body, it keeps your scapula from winging when you're in a weight-bearing position. It controls the movement of the scapula on the ribs. That's the cookie cutter answer.
But it's more than that. You need rhomboids, you need middle trap, low trap. You need
thoracic mobility.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That's a really tough one.
Yeah, for example, and this is an example of like not using cookie cutters. Somebody sent me a video and they said, how does this look? I've been working on this. And it was plank lowering to chaturanga. And it looked really good if I didn't look at the thoracic spine, which was overly kyphotic. It was rounded. Mm-hmm. And so she started off in plank. So imagine looking at somebody, everything's in alignment, but you see this rounded kind of hump. Yep. Well, that's too much. We want kyphosis there, but a neutral curve would, in plank, you wouldn't see that. You would see more like you want the scapula on the rib cage, but she's like actually probably using her chest and tightening in, and that's rounded her upper back. So it looked really good in a lot of ways, but that wasn't great. And I said, you really need the scapula to be more toward midline.
Yeah.
Because in that position, her scapula were. So she could do that move all the time, but she's not going to get all the parts that are strong. She might get some serratus in a, you know, in a concentric way, but it's not how you want to lower. And you need that thoracic. I'm sure some of it is the thoracic. Her chest is tight. And it feels like a lot more comfortable there than to have it open.
She's naturally protracted. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the thing is that people can be naturally protracted, but not have strength there.
Yeah.
So yes, it needs, there's many facets to it. So work on thoracic mobility, work on, I would say, isometric holding in weight bearing, like in plank and stuff like
that. Side plank, modified side plank.
That's why we do so much of that stuff. I almost said shit. So much of that shit we do. And that's the reason you have to get all of those muscles to help stabilize the scapula on the rib cage, but everything has to be in alignment as you're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, final question here. Whiplash. I also do get a lot of questions about whiplash, but 20 years later, wow, whiplash recovery. So the cervical spine has got to be an area that you have seen plenty of whiplash.
I treat it so much.
How important is it to get that recovery sooner than later? Like 20 years later, what do you think probably has happened?
I think the interesting thing with the cervical spine is we start developing arthritis in our cervical spine in our late 20s. You know, so if you've had whiplash, does that mean you're doomed 20 years from now? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Cervical spine, a lot of it.
Can you actually define whiplash? I mean, people know what it is. You're in a car accident. That's usually when it happens. It can happen like, you know, you were skiing, but typically car accident. And what is literally happening at this?
It's hyperextension of the neck. Mm-hmm. So typically you will have a stretch injury to the muscles in the front. You can have a compressive injury to some of the joints in the back of the neck. I think it's more soft tissue injury than anything. This was funny when I was filming with Greg and I kept saying soft tissue. He's like, I don't understand what you're saying because don't we want our tissues to be soft? And you and I talk about soft tissues all the time. I said, no, soft tissues are muscle, ligament, tendon. Yeah. And he's like, but the rest of us don't know that. And I say it all the time.
I say it all the time. I say connective tissue, soft tissue, but not all, like muscle's not really connective tissue. It is.
Yeah.
A specialized connective tissue with motor cells, I guess you could say, but really connective tissue is.
I've really had to try to revamp my soft tissue.
I think
soft tissue can be tight.
Right. Yes, tissue can be tight. Wow, way to go, Greg.
Yeah, totally caught me on that.
I know. See, these are the things we say, and that's why I wanted to not assume everybody knew whiplash.
Yeah.
So I think the point is that you can have, and I think that early on you get so much inflammation and, and then there's all this, I mean, it's your freaking neck. Yeah. There's a lot of fear around there.
Yeah.
So I think that value that something else might have happened, but I think I'm sure there's a lot of fear.
A lot of fear. And so,
you don't move as much and that creates tightness. And
so then by the time you see me 20 years later, we see limited range of motion, usually in rotation and side bending. Flexion and extension, yes, that too. But I think the ones that we restore and see change is with rotation and side bending. Your neck has a core, just like your low back does. And these are your deep cervical flexors, the muscles in front, the suboccipitals, the muscles at the base of the skull, need to be lengthened usually or retrained. So the first thing I would say for you is just look at your cervical range of motion. Mm-hmm. Can you, so cervical rotation, your chin should line up with the outer third of your collarbone. That would be considered full functional rotation. So can you do that?
Turning your head.
Does your chin line up with the outer third of your collarbone? The reason we say that is people will say, I can turn, but they're actually turning their thoracic spine. They're rotating through their shoulders.
Right.
Number two, can your ear go halfway down to your shoulder, 45 degrees of side bending without bringing the shoulder up to it? So look in a mirror. take a look at yourself. How does that feel? Do you have that? If you don't, restore that. And then look at your posture. Do your ears line up over your shoulders? Can you draw that back? My husband calls it king tut.
People are skip. So weak there. That's some crazy.
So weak. Lie on your back. Tuck your chin into your throat and then lift your head and look at your belly button and try to hold that. Talk about endurance.
Yeah.
You're going to feel it. 10-second hold.
The abs of your neck.
That's really the abs
are.
Of your neck. 10-second mm-hmm. hold. So hard. So yeah. Can you build your neck core, for lack of a better term?
Yeah. And I think people are needing that more and more now.
Because we really are putting our neck at end range all the time. We're on a computer, so we're end range extension. We're on our phones, we're at end range flexion.
Yes. This is going to be a big moneymaker. The cervical spine rehab in the next 5 to 10.
It already is. I see so many tension neck. Headaches and treat through the neck.
Yeah. So much.
So much in the neck. So.
I've seen, I can't stop looking at people all around. You're the same way.
It's like
a hairdresser
problem.
And the hair, you know, I just can't.
I watch people move all the time.
Oh my God. And watching the necks, I'm just like, oh, this is killing me.
Their upper traps are totally overworking because they're posture.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Poor little head is just hanging off the base of the spine.
I know.
It's holding on for dear life.
Get your head back, people. Look at
it's
look
all
around.
Physics.
Smile at people. And thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You can find more of Kristen on her Instagram. It's KB Williams. Is that right?
Yep, 99.
KB Williams, 99.
See,
but that'll be
married.
In the show notes. Yes.
That's when I came.
Yeah. KB Williams, 99. Yep. And we'll have you back because I'm sure that people are going to love this episode and they love you. Check out her therapeutic series. It's amazing. You need a ball, maybe find a therapeutic ball. She has some funny lines in there as well. A strap and a block, and it'll make your body feel so good.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to take care of ourselves in all the ways. So thank you so much.
You're
love
welcome.
You.
Welcome. I love you too.
And thank everybody pulling for you as always.